Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No, I want this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue. I stand alone. I stand alone.
Welcome to the show and a good Friday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Got a big fun show for you coming up later in the broadcast. Jay Black, WSB Sports Director, will join us, as will Judd Hickenbotham, as we talk about the Braves or a charge to the pennant. We've got an actor joining us next half hour. Maybe you can help me with his name, Joe. It's Harold. Did you ever watch the show Oz?
I have not seen it.
You've never seen Oz?
I'm not in touch with the world. I'm so sorry.
It's Harold Perrineau?
Okay.
I think that's his last name. Anyway, he's coming
nice.
Up.
Nice.
But
awesome.
you're the headliner. Indeed, you are the headliner at the Punchline this weekend. Joe Zimmerman joins us on the Mark Arum Show.
I'll be doing some comedy humor.
How are you, Joe? How's everything?
Great. I'm happy to be back in Atlanta. I just drove down here in my Kia rental car. To the sound of hip-hop music on the highway. It was great.
Why did you choose the Kia as a rental? I'm just curious.
You know, the old Kayak gave me the options. I went intermediate.
Okay.
I didn't go compact.
So the Kia is considered an intermediate.
And they gave me a Kia. I thought I was really going up with the intermediate, but it looks pretty nice.
My rental car game is you reserve the intermediate,
uh-huh,
and then I'll get the $5 a day upsell to the small SUV. That's how
Ooh,
I go.
This is some next level stuff.
They didn't try to upsell you?
You show up and then you pay $5 more.
Yeah, and I'll sign up for the intermediate.
Yeah.
You know, the smaller car.
Nice.
And then when I get to the counter, 9 times out of 10, they're like, well, you can upgrade to the small SUV for $450 more a day.
Oh, wow.
And then I do that.
I rarely get upsold. I must have a look on my face.
They're like, this guy's small. He just,
yeah,
you know, I'm a bigger guy. So they're like, oh, this chubster needs an SUV.
They know that you need an SUV. That's great.
But you wind up saving money. Anyway,
No, I'm going to use that. I need rental car tricks. The rental car, I feel like I always have problems renting cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always this little bit of a struggle.
What issues do you run into?
Background checks? They get you on insurance. I never know if I should get the insurance.
Never get the insurance.
See?
Do you have regular car insurance?
See,
you might not, though, living in New York. Do you have car insurance?
Well, I've had regular car insurance up until about a few months ago.
Okay. Well, if you don't have car insurance, then you get it.
Yeah.
But Clark Howard, who's a consumer advocate on our radio station here, tells me to never, if you have car insurance, never, ever
nice.
Get the insurance.
That's great to know.
It's because it's a big charge. And, you know, I've been renting cars for, let's see, you could start when you're 25, so almost 19 years now. And knock on wood, I've never had an accident or anything like that.
Yeah.
But do you get the satellite radio? Do you upgrade to the satellite radio on the rental car?
I don't. Sometimes the satellite radio is just in there, so I usually just gamble that it's in there.
Now, here's a big question.
Yeah.
As we're talking about rental cars with Joe Zimmerman, he might not be talking about this on the Punchline stage tonight, tomorrow. There's the fuel option. So this is the one that kind of mixes uh-huh. me up. You can prepay for the fuel.
Yep.
Or you can bring it back full. But if you don't bring it back full, they charge you like $9 a gallon to fill it up. Which of those options do you traditionally use with the rental car?
I just bring it back full.
Yeah.
Unless I'm driving back to New York City. And then I will prepay because it's hard to get a gas station at the last second in New York City.
Exactly. It's tough to, you have to know where you're driving to and from, because I like to bring it back full as well.
Yeah.
But sometimes, so when I fly up to Hartford to see my parents, I know there's a gas station right outside Bradley International, so I bring it back full. When I fly out of White Plains, the closest gas station is like 8 miles away. So I'll prepay on that one
yeah.
and let them fill it up, because it's a hassle to fill it up.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. It's harder than you think. I've rented a, the last thing I'll say about it is I've rented a car and something like 2 miles away from the rental place,
yeah,
there was a toll where you had to have a pass to go through,
yep,
or you had to have quarters. There was no other option.
No option. Quarters,
you had to have quarters or a pass. And I had no quarters. And so I'm calling the button and I just, there was nothing you could do. I just had to drive through without paying,
yeah,
which is an automatic ticket,
yeah,
that goes to the rental car company and then eventually comes back to you.
I did that in Cooperstown last weekend or 2 weekends ago. We had a rental car going up to the Baseball Hall of Fame induction and they had the Easy Pass in the window. So I was like, oh, toll, Easy Pass. But I didn't know you had to open the thing. You had to open the chute, mm-hmm, so it was visible. So I drive through the Easy Pass thing, and it was like, man. But I had the Easy Pass. I just didn't slide it open in time.
Yeah.
But the good news is Jay Black rented the car, so he's going to get the ticket.
He's going to get the ticket.
And that's, I was great, driving in it. All right. Joe Zimmerman, first time ever talking about rental cars and tolls on a radio show. How long have you been in the comedy game?
I started 12 years ago in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then, yeah, I moved to Asheville, North Carolina, and I did a lot. I've done a lot of shows over the years in Atlanta because I used to be on a tour called The Beards of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be regulars in Atlanta. And yeah, I've just done a lot in Atlanta over the years, a lot of friends here. I used to work at Habitat for Humanity, so I got some Habitat for Humanity friends here.
Awesome.
And I used to go to, and I went to Davidson College. I have a lot of Davidson College friends in Atlanta. And then just people that have come to shows over the years.
It's weird, and I mean this as a 100% compliment. I don't know if you're 20 years old or 44 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've got this baby face, but you've got a beard.
Right.
And it's like, am I in that range? Are you between 20 and 44?
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that I'm an ambiguous age, because sometimes I see those people, it's usually women, who I'm like, this person could be 23 or 42.
You don't know, yeah.
I've had people guess that I'm 28. I've had people guess that I'm 34.
All right.
But I'm 36.
All right. So you're
getting up there.
But if you said, "Oh, I'm 24," I would have totally believed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're giving me new,
which
giving me new life. Give me new life. I've been feeling old. You know, it's stupid. I've felt old ever since I was about 9 years old. I've always had that.
Like an old soul, or you just felt physically old?
Just old. You're nine. You're like, oh, I'm like, it's over. I'm almost to double digits.
Almost 10.
And every year of my life, I'm like, because we're always the oldest we've ever been.
Yeah.
I wish I had the more mindset of like, oh, I'm young. I've still got so much life. But I've always, ever since 9 years, I think nine is the year that you're aware of your own mortality. Right.
I hope not, but maybe in your case, nine.
I think that's the year that you start to be like, oh, we're all going to die.
That's when
someday.
Your grandparents start dying. And you're,
yes,
like, oh, yeah.
Grandparents died.
Pets die.
I was laying in bed one night and there's all of a sudden the ticking clock, all of a sudden it was just terrifying to me. You could just hear it each tick.
The sands of the hourglass.
Laying awake. So that age nine was the year that I got rid of the ticking clock.
I look back, I remember when I turned 27 here at the station, and I remember saying, I can't believe I'm 27. I'm so old and unbelievable. And my coworkers were like, shut up, 27's young, blah, blah. And now I look back at 44, and I'm like, God, I was so young at 27. I can't believe how old I am now. But I know when I'm 57, I'm going to look back now at 44, I go, God, I was so young. Why didn't I? You know, we are weird people.
I know. We're always the oldest we've ever been, but... You know, 10 years from now, we'll be like, wow, I was so young then. Why did I think I was old? What an idiot.
Oh, so 10 years from now, you still going to be doing the stand-up? What's the career arc for Joe Zimmerman right now?
So I started out open mics. Then I did MC feature. I've been headlining clubs for about 5 years now. And then it's theaters and then stadiums. So I think when I'm 55, I'll be doing stadiums. That's how that works.
Indeed. What's the difference? And I don't need numbers, but financially, from being opener or host, opener, whatever, to the main act, the
Let's
feature
see.
Act.
I would say it's factors of about, well, opening and featuring, it's maybe factors, small differences. But then headliner really gets the biggest chunk of the pie. It's like being, you know, the headliner is like being in the 1%, you know.
Yeah, you're in the big leagues.
Is the way money works. You know, if you're the CEO of the company, you're making way more than the worker.
Sure.
I'm not the CEO, but the headliner, they got to go through an agent. You definitely make a much bigger chunk of the chunk
Good
of the pie.
For you. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Comedy
so, yeah,
influences.
I'm making you know, $20 a show.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And free food at the Punchline Comedy Club. Tickets available online, by the way, punchline.com.
It's attached to the Landmark Diner.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's good food.
As a 24 to 44-year-old comedian, we're not really sure, growing up, your comedy influences were whom?
Well, I watched a lot of Simpsons. I watched a lot of Seinfeld.
Yes.
I read The Far Side.
Great comedy.
My introduction to comedy was The Far Side, because I would read The Far Side each morning in the paper, and then I wouldn't get it. I was too young.
Yeah.
And I would have my dad explain to me what was funny about The Far Side, and he explained, like, oh, well, the lion just ate that guy, and that's funny because this. And then I would giggle. I would, like, laugh after the joke was explained to me. Like, that's not how laughing works.
I remember vaguely when that stopped being a current comic. I forgot the artist's name that was doing it.
Guy. Larson?
Yeah, Gary Larson.
Yeah.
When it ceased. I remember that was a big deal.
Yeah.
That and Calvin and Hobbes. Both of them, when those went away.
I loved Calvin and Hobbes.
That was, like, you know, pretty earth-shaking.
Yeah.
But I would imagine kids these days don't even... That's not even a factor, right? No one's buying the newspapers. No one's looking at comic strips anymore.
I think, you know, they got these specialized children's shows on Netflix and TV where I think kids just do that. But there's got to be some version of comic strips for kids.
Peanuts?
I don't know.
They're still rehashing Charles Schulz stuff from 90 years ago.
Yeah, I feel like kids, I guess kids now are missing out on The Far Side and the Calvin and Hobbes.
You can Google them. Find them on the internet.
Yeah.
Find Joe Zimmerman on the internet. You have a website for us, buddy?
ZimmermanComedy.com.
Nice.
And I'm on Instagram at Joe Zimmerman and Twitter at Joe Zimmerman.
Excellent. And he's at the Punchline tonight and tomorrow, Sunday, no?
Sunday as well.
Oh, Sunday as well. All right. Sunday. So jump online, grab those tickets. Yeah. Punchline.com. Can you hang out one more segment?
I would love to.
All right. Joe Zimmerman, join us on a Friday night. This is The Mark Arum Show. Welcome back. Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show. Coming up after news, weather, and traffic, Jay Black and Judd Higginbotham from Atlanta's Morning News. Harold Perrineau, an actor who you've seen in Oz and Romeo and Juliet and Claws. He's got a show on TNT right now.
Oh, cool.
Drawing a blank. Joe Zimmerman has no idea who he is.
Well, I've seen Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
The one with Leo DiCaprio?
I don't know.
Claire Danes?
I don't know. Honestly, I just know him from Oz, from HBO. And that's all I'm going to talk to him about. Joe Zimmerman, amazing stand-up in studio with his return to the Punchline tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Tickets online at punchline.com. We talked before the break. You mentioned your social media. How important is it in 2018 for a comedian to be on social media and interact with fans?
It seems very important. I don't think I'm an expert in that area, which is probably hurting me. But I'm beginning to have more fun on Instagram. You got the stories, you got the pictures, and that's how people keep in touch. That's how people keep in touch with you. You do a show. If somebody really likes you, they follow you, and then the next time you're in town, they know that you're in town. But the people that are really skyrocketing, skyrocketing to the top of comedy are really hitting the social media very hard.
Yeah, it seems like it's a big factor.
Treating it like it's, you know, 50% of their job.
Another job. Yeah. Speaking of headliners, on your way up, give me a big name that you opened for or worked with, someone that you were like, wow, I can't believe I'm working with this person or opening for this person.
On the way up, I would say about 7 years ago, I got to meet and work with Brian Regan, who is one of my favorite comedians.
Amazing.
Who is one of my favorite comedians of all time. And then all of a sudden, you're working with him, and then all of a sudden, you're hanging out with him. It's such a bizarre... I've had that experience a few times when you're just suddenly hanging out with your favorite comedian.
It's crazy, right?
It's a weird experience.
Do you feel the pressure? Like, I've got to be so funny right now. I'm hanging out with Brian Regan.
It was more like hoping that he would... be funny.
Just to entertain you.
And then he was. He the best part about him is he totally lived up to the hype and was just hilarious in person.
Yeah.
Just cracking jokes and just being exactly who you hoped he would be.
That's great. He's awesome. You're awesome as well. Joe Zimmerman.
I'm a little more on stage. I'm more like you know, I'm more like
you're
just
a thinking
a guy.
Man's comic.
I'm just like a guy.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Tell us the social media accounts again so we can follow
I'm
you.
At Joe Zimmerman on Instagram and Twitter, and Zimmerman Comedy on Facebook. And I'm trying to do a little I'm trying to get out there more with I have a podcast called A Great Listening Experience.
Ooh.
Where each week I try to get a little closer to infinite knowledge and power through my podcast.
Sounds deep.
Yeah.
Joe, great to see you.
Great to see you. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. We'll see you this weekend at the Punchline.
Sweet.
Tickets online at punchline.com. News, weather, and traffic next. This is The Mark Arum Show. Welcome back. Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show. Mark Arum with you Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Don't forget, you can join us Monday at the Gwinnett Stripers game. We'll be broadcasting live from Phil Necro's Bar and Grill. I might be making up that grill part, but we'll be there 7 to 9. You can meet me, Longoria, Loti, Deb Green, the producer, all the bananas there. And it's military night, so two for one for military veterans and active members. Speaking of Gwinnett County, the Braves, sports in general, joining us in studio on a Friday eve, WSB Sports Director Jay Black and WSB's assistant to the assistant sports director, mm-hmm. Judd Hickenbotham. So you're third.
You.
No, I'm second in line.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm third.
And then Judd's third
Where's
in line.
Where's Adelwine? He's the first assistant?
No, I think Edgar is.
Oh, Edgar's, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Jay's got like nine direct reports to him yes. when it comes to the sports staff at WSB Radio.
It is the biggest
and
most copacetic department of the radio station.
Yeah, so what we do, I mean, Jay, of course, engineers and produces Atlanta's Morning News with Scott Slade, and Judd filled in this week. The toughest job in the building, I think.
It's up
his?
There.
Judd's filling in for Slade. If you're not used to it.
Yeah.
It's I'm so glad I don't do it anymore.
Jay's job is hard to babysit the person that's filling in for Slade,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. But no, yeah, it's not the easiest
the
at
worst
all.
Part is, by the time, so you did it the whole week. By the time Friday comes, you're getting more comfortable.
Yes.
And then you don't do it again for another 6 months.
I had that feeling.
Exactly.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. Yes. And then it's all over.
You did a fine job. But before you get out of here for the weekend, guys, I just wanted to do a quick Braves checkup here as we pass the trade deadline as we go into the dog days of August in the National League East. Jay, I'll start with you as sports director. Are you confident that the Braves are going to win the East?
I'm not going to say confident,
yeah.
But I'm feeling better that it might just be a two-horse race mm-hmm. between the Braves and the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Nationals are going to get their act together in time to make a push.
And
there's too much talent there, but man, it appears to be chaos.
It's surprising too because I mean the Nationals were the heavy favorites coming into the season. Stout lineup, an amazing rotation headlined by Scherzer and Strasburg, and they've added some bullpen pieces, but just a lot of health issues and a lot of personality issues and chemistry issues.
I was convinced this week, this four-game series that they just wrapped up, I was convinced they were going to, you know, at least take three out of four, or if not sweep.
The like, Nationals would.
The Nationals were going to. And they just look so, you know, fearsome on paper, but there's something with that team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the Braves have a good shot at winning the East. I don't think they're considered one of the, you know, two best teams in the National League necessarily, but I think they can definitely win the division this
Biggest
year.
Concern going forward as the playoff push, Jay?
Well, you talk about going to the Stripers game on Monday. There might not be any pitching left there because they might all be in the majors
because
the Braves have starters dropping like flies. Mm-hmm. And you can never have enough pitching, and the Braves are kind of getting down toward the end of the barrel there. But all those prospects, now it's time they're going to have to contribute in a playoff push.
Are we going to see Touki Toussaint? Am I even pronouncing that?
I think that's a very good possibility that if he probably will get a piece of one of these doubleheaders here coming up. And certainly I see him as a bullpen piece down the stretch.
And he was part of a trade with Arizona, right, where we just punted or we took a salary. What was the deal?
It was Bronson Arroyo. They traded Gosselin.
Phil Gosselin.
Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah.
Paying his entire $10 million salary and Touki Toussaint, who was their previous year's
first round pick. So we punted $10 million and got a guy that could be a rotation fixture for a long time.
We kind of fleeced Arizona here lately.
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, unbelievable.
Exactly. Shelby Miller's been hurt the whole time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, the Duvall trade. Ander Inciarte had been slumping. The Braves go out and get Adam Duvall, big slugging outfielder from the Reds. And all of a sudden, Judd, Inciarte's, you know, his job was on the line. He's turned it on.
Yeah, he has turned on. He's not hitting leadoff anymore. I think that kind of helps. You know, you move him down the lineup. I like Inciarte. I know he's kind of had a bad year. I know he's kind of in the doghouse with Snitker a little bit, the way he wasn't, you know, hustling earlier this year. But I still love his game. I think he's going to come around, but he's got to get a little more consistent offense.
Does he have mad game?
He's got, I would say he has mad game. The beard has mad game.
Does Jay Black have mad game?
Yeah, Inciarte has great mad game.
Ronald Acuna, we're starting to see the phenom that everyone's been talking about for years. He's really turned it on.
Yeah, I mean, if you can hit a 450-foot homer in one inning and then rob somebody in the bottom half of the inning.
Yeah.
I mean, the talent is there. You're just a little concerned about the pitching. You're a little concerned about the bullpen. You know, they made some minor adjustments to the bullpen, but, I mean, the position players are – they got what they want.
I'd say one thing the Braves need is they need an ace, and they don't quite have an ace yet.
No.
And I don't know if it's a veteran ace or something like that. My dream of all dreams is DeGrom to come to Atlanta or something like that. You know, that kind of guy.
I mean, you don't trust Foltynewicz or Sean Newcomb in a winner-take-all ball
game
yet?
Not this season. Well, talk to me next year.
So let's say it's a best-of-three. Let's say the Braves are in a best-of-three playoffs.
Yeah.
You're throwing out Folty. You're throwing out Anibal Sanchez.
He's my game one starter,
two,
I swear.
And then Newcomb in number three, which is, you know, you're basically throwing out three top-of-the-line rotation
but not true
number ones.
Yet.
Yeah. And then he run against the Dodgers, and they throw up Kershaw, or the Nationals throw up Scherzer, or the Phillies throw up, I guess, Arrieta would be their number one right now. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm concerned. I'm cautiously optimistic, though. Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. But, I mean, they're in the hunt, which is good. They're in the thick of things.
Very important series this weekend. While the Nationals was important for the division, the Brewers lead the wild card by a game over the Braves.
And that's a powerful team. That's a team that can hit some bombs off of you. They
Moustakas, in Milwaukee,
who used to be a stalwart on Judd Hickenbotham's AL-only fantasy team.
He was very good
back in the day. real quick, I know football season is just around the corner. Jay Black, any headlines from Athens for the Dogs fans out there?
There is a lot of talent there. We got to see him during Fan Day last weekend, the open practice last Saturday at Sanford Stadium. They have a lot of talent. They have a lot of potential depth, but you're still having to replace basically four first-round picks. Yeah. That's going to be the question, is how do the Dogs do that?
The East, though, seems to be weak from my layman's eyes.
I think it can't be as bad as it was last year.
Yeah.
Because Florida's not going to have the train wreck they had, and Tennessee's going to at least win one game in the SEC, which they didn't last year. So I think the division is going to be better, but Georgia still should be the class of the East.
WSB Sports Director Jay Black, the class of WSB Radio. And Judd Hickenbotham, not too bad yourself.
Oh, thank you. Hey, try the Nuxie in Gwinnett.
The Nuxie?
The Nuxie. It's the specialty sandwich at Necro's.
Done.
Yes.
You guys are invited, by the way, Monday. Come see us, Phil Necro's Bar and Grill.
Can I bring my parents?
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Can you find somebody to fill in for me on Tuesday?
Absolutely. Have a good weekend, guys. All right, thanks to Judd and Jay. You can hear both of them on Atlanta's Morning News every Monday through Friday, starting at 4:30 a.m. with Scott Slade and Atlanta's Morning News. Joining us now on the program, an actor for one of my favorite shows of all time, Oz, Harold Perrineau. Harold, before I get to the season finale of Claws on TNT, I hope you don't mind if I discuss briefly with you the television show Oz and my deep obsession with it. Is that all right if we discuss Oz for a couple of seconds?
let's delve into Oz, my friend.
All right. I mean, Oz was a groundbreaking show, and I think all of these amazing dramas that have followed need to credit Oz for breaking down some walls and barriers back in the day on HBO. My question for you is, how did you wind up on that show? What was the casting like? How did you wind up on there, and what did you know about the show going into it?
Oh wow, man, that's really interesting. At the time, I had just finished Romeo and Juliet had just come out a couple months ago, and so I was getting all this people buzzing who is this kid, what's his deal and stuff like that. And so I got a couple of calls to do a couple of different shows, and I went and I auditioned. And then this one thing was happening in New York City that says called Oz. It's set in a prison. It's weird. And I was oh, okay, I don't know if I want to do something that's in a prison, another black guy in a prison. I just didn't want to do it. But I read it, and it was so, so interesting. And so, and also, I guess I wasn't really working that much, so I couldn't turn down anything.
sure.
I was in California at the time. I came home to New York. I went in, I auditioned, I thought I did really well, and then I didn't hear anything about it. I went back to California, broke up with my girlfriend, waited again, I didn't hear anything. Then they called me back, and they're like, oh, hey, they really, really liked you. They've been thinking about it. They called back. They want you to come in one more time. I went in again with the director, and I felt like I did so poorly that literally I started crying when I left. I was like, I can't believe I just I just blew this whole job. And, like, by the time I'd taken the subway back to my apartment, they called me up and said, yep, let's do this. And I was like, oh, snap. So then I started doing all this research, and I went to prison, and I started talking to people in prison, and I started doing all this stuff, and then we started. We just went from there.
Did you originally audition for Augustus, or was it another role perhaps they had in mind for you?
And I had always auditioned for Augustus. I didn't know where it was going. I just knew I had these monologues. I had like two or three monologues. I didn't really know what that meant, or, you know, I didn't understand it until we got there. And then Darnell Martin, who was the director at the time, explained that she had had this idea because she had gone to, I think, MoMA or something like that, and she saw these boxes. She thought it would be cool to just sort of set somebody in the center of a box whirling, and I didn't know what she was talking about. But she's such a great artist. And so, yeah, we got there and started doing that. We had this amazing crew, and they built this thing, and we were there.
Such an amazing. And I'll tell you what, after watching that show, and I was hooked on it, that's when I made mm-hmm. the decision never to do anything ever, ever in my life where I could wind up in prison. I mean, I was a bad kid, but that show scared me straight. And I think literally they should show at least clips of that to high school students now and be like, listen, you mess around, you're going to wind up in Emerald City. This is how bad it
you're
can
gonna
get.
You're going to wind up in Emerald City, and you're going to be eating dinner, and it's going to be filled with glass. You're not going to know it.
Yeah, just like, crazy.
It's so scary. So, so scary.
Yeah, well, so mm-hmm. thank you for that. I guess crediting you for keeping me out of big boy jail. let's talk about the
congratulations, man.
The Claws season finale this Sunday on TNT. What can we expect on the season finale?
You know, this has all been this whole big setup because Desna's getting married, and she's got revenge on her mind. So I think this episode, it's going to be a lot of twists and turns. I mean, there's going to be things that you just never expected to happen. That's the best I can actually say. I wouldn't want to give it away, because when you see it, you're going to be like, oh my God, like literally head explode. Not maybe not literally, because if your head exploded, that would be terrible. But but actually, like, yeah, mind blown. How about that? So there's going to be a lot of real interesting twists and turns, and the ladies really are going to take you on a really great ride. Our writers are so good, and they're so smart, and it's so fun and so good to look at. And yeah, so this finale is going to be a lot of fun for everybody. I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot on Twitter about this.
Amazing show. It's the season finale this Sunday, 9 p.m. on TNT. Harold, so honored you could join us. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate it, brother.
All right, thanks, Harold. Appreciate it. Oz, one of the best shows of all time, but it is definitely not for the kids. So don't have your teens watching it or preteens watching it. It's adult-only viewing. All right, hang tight. We'll be right back. Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show. Welcome back to the program. A reminder. Hey, it's Mark Arum, by the way. A reminder, this Monday, coming up after the weekend, you can see me, Low T Chuck Longoria, and Deb Green, the producer of The Mark Arum Show. We'll be broadcasting live at Necro's Bar at Cool Ray Field as the Gwinnett Stripers take on the Louisville Bats on Monday night. Tickets available online. And if you are, it's a Military Monday too. So if you're a military vet or active member, you can get 2-for-1 field level seats. So come on, hang out. Good food at Necro's. We've been there before. It's awesome and a great chance to see some great baseball with the Gwinnett Stripers again at Cool Ray Field. Come out and see us on Monday. We'll be broadcasting live from 7 to 9 at Necro's. Maybe Mr. Necro, Nuxie, the Hall of Famer, will stop by and join us as well. All right, coming up before news, weather, and traffic, after news, weather, and traffic, some more amazing stuff from the Mark Arum Show that Longoria has pulled. I will be playing poker in Cherokee County all weekend. Not Cherokee County, but Cherokee Casino in North Carolina. But I'll be active via social media. So if you want to hook up on Twitter, Instagram, it's at Mark Arum, and Facebook, Mark Arum WSB. In the meantime, go to sleep, little baby. Go to sleep, you little
baby. Guests of the Mark Arum Show stay at the All Suite Omni Hotel, located in the heart of Chicago's Magnificent Mile.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.